that you offer me forgiveness, the gift of your Holy Spirit, and abundant life in your everlasting kingdom. I now, by faith, receive your gift. Please, come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me now and forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If today was a day of decision, will you let me know so I can rejoice with you and share with you next steps in Christian discipleship? You can email me at missioncharlottesville@gmail.com. I promise you I will respond to your email. After hearing today's message, I invite you to come and join us this morning for in-person worship with the congregation of Mission Charlottesville. We meet at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Hillsdale Conference Center, located at 550 Hillsdale Drive, Charlottesville, Virginia. If you're not comfortable attending in person, you can watch the live stream of that service through our Facebook page under Mission Charlottesville, beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. Thanks for listening today. Join with me next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. for another message from the pulpit of Mission Charlottesville. God bless you today and always.
Your CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast. Cloudy today with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms, highs in the middle 70s. Storms could be strong to severe. We'll be tracking them on air and online at www.cbs19news.com. Tonight, gradual clearing to mostly clear, lows in the middle 40s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and cooler, highs in the lower 60s. I'm CBS 19 meteorologist Tana Scholl on Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHB.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. I'm excited to be with you today to share some of God's Word. On this program, it's intended to be your spiritual cup of coffee. On the program, we share faith journeys and testimonies, and we're thankful that you're joining us this morning. We like to start the program with some scripture reading, and I have two that I have been with all week, and I'm very excited to share them with you. If you are a regular on this program, you will recognize this verse because we go here regularly. And full disclosure, Tony Bennett, a great man of faith, UVA yeah. basketball coach, was the one who pointed me first to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Goes like this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Romans 12, 2. The companion verse that goes with it in my study is from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, and that verse that sort of lives with this goes like this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." We're going to talk about those verses, a couple of themes that come out of them. And we have my good friend John Quisenberry on the program. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Trust me, we'll be back in just a moment.
Emotional pain and depression may indicate that someone is at risk for suicide, but the signs aren't always easy to see or discuss. Most people who take their lives exhibit one or more warning signs. Often the signs are subtle changes in mood, what they say, or how they act. Learn to recognize the warning signs. Suicide is preventable. Recognize it, talk about it, act on it. Learn more at recognizetalkact.org. A message from the Virginia Department of Health.
Westwood One is your exclusive home for the 2021 NCAA Tournament. It's only fitting that a season unlike any other comes to a conclusion in the most unique circumstances. From 68 teams down to one, all in the same state. Every basket, buzzer beater, and bracket buster until a champion is crowned. Who will take home the title? Tune in to find out. All the excitement of March Madness right here.
Check out the full broadcast schedule online, and you can also listen live at WCHV.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. We have my good friend John Quisenberry from the Charlottesville House of Prayer. John, I love having you on this show. There's no question it's a God thing whenever I reach out to you, because when this program airs, it will be Palm Sunday.
Wow.
We have the whole kind of march up to Easter. It's a very holy time, a very biblical time, a time to celebrate Jesus, but a time to, you know, we participate in that crucifixion with him. And then at the same time, we get to participate in the resurrection. But before we go into all that, John, I need to give you the, or really allow you to kind of refresh our listeners, tell them just a little bit about you and the Charlottesville House of Prayer. And specifically, if you could touch on kind of your new location.
Right, right. Wow. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. It's a real privilege to be on Everyday Faith with you. Yeah, we're at 2146 Berkmar Drive, north of town. And we just moved into a really nice 550 square foot prayer room area. We just love to have everybody come by and see us. But yeah, it's such a privilege to gather with folks in the city for prayer and to worship together and to just gather as the body of Christ, to be the body of Christ, to be the church instead of going to church.
Well, let me ask you this while you're there, because you kind of opened the door to this question. How important is it, or what would you say to the person who says, you know what, I can church by myself just fine?
Well, okay. Barna just did a set of statistics. And they estimated that at least 20% of churches are going to close by the end of the year. And then they talked to pastors, and those that are polled, 58%, they said that they don't know if their church is going to survive the pandemic. Mm. So how is staying home and watching church working? Be in church is what God's called us to be. Mm. The church has survived the Inquisition. It survived Nazism, it survived secularism, it survived the Black Plague, but is it going to die in a pandemic? The question is that, are we going to be the church? Mm-hmm. Because I believe truly that we're in a time where the church is being refined. He is getting rid of spectator Christianity. He's bringing us into a place where we're not going to just receive our little cup of grace for the week and sip on it till the next Sunday. He's called us to gather, to be a priesthood, to minister to God and to minister to one another. That's what we gather for. We don't gather to get our little cup of grace. And cause we're in the midst of a reformation, Jeff. That's what's happening right now.
Okay. Well, now suppose somebody listening to the show today, they're starting to lean into to your words here. And they're wondering, what does it mean, John Quisenberry? What's it mean to really kind of step in and be active in the church as opposed to just kind of taking and consuming?
Right, right. Well, the church has gone through several reformations. There was an incredible reformation back in the early 1500s where the people who were running the church said that if you just gave your money, then that meant that you went to heaven. And so they changed it. So now going to church was participating in body life. But we're at another crossroads where participating not only in the meeting, but seeking God's face, encountering God in a personal relationship with God, but also in personal relationship with others. What does it mean to wade into that? Well, I'll tell you what, that's why the church is going through Reformation, because lately the church has kind of gotten to the point where many churches, I shouldn't say the church, there's always the church, but many churches have gotten kind of on the part where we come to learn about God, to sing a few songs and go home and be inspired. But the Church of Jesus Christ has always been the people of God seeking his face, living an encounter with God, and ministering to one another and loving one another. Now, I can't point to the church is here, the church is there, because where people meet on a Sunday morning is the church, but it's not always, and particularly now, there are some groups that are much more understanding what God's doing, and some groups that are just kind of keeping it on a consumer level. But I mean, it's real important to find a group of people who are seeking God and are loving one another according to the Bible. And that is what church is about, because God shows up when we're gathered in his name. Where two or three are gathered, he's promised to meet us there. So that's the key thing, gathering to encounter God and gathering to love one another. So you go someplace where you find that.
I love it. And this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. We have my good friend John Quisenberry on the program with the Charlottesville House of Prayer. John, I'm going to circle back to the two verses that I mentioned
at the
beginning of the program. Romans 12:2 talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Could you kind of take a bite on that for us?
Sure.
And let it flow, what that means to you?
Wow. I've got a lot. Well, anyway, I'll just that particular verse is one of the most important verses for right now, because the verse basically says in modern day English, it says, don't allow the world to press you into its own mold, but be transformed in the presence, or be transformed by being connected to the presence of God. So that's actually a very powerful reality, because we have so many pressures around us. Every time you sign on to look up information, there's a gravity towards disbelief or a gravity toward secularism. There's a whole idea that God's, you know, signed off. He's stepped back, or on the other hand, that it's fatalistic. No matter what we do, God's going to do what he wants. But that's not true. God is looking for partners. He's looking for people to interact with him, to know him, and to allow him to transform him. There's so much to say on this. I'll just say one more thing. That whole verse that says, if we abide in him, we bear much fruit. That whole idea that if we're connected to Jesus, if we're connected in relationship to the presence of God, God, the Holy Spirit among us, if we're connected to God, then we undergo a transformation. We actually are pressed. We're actually transformed, and we produce a lot of fruit. Whereas if we just kind of go with the flow of what's going on around us, we're more and more depressed. We're more and more discouraged. We're angry. We're separated. There's never been more division among people in the United States. Anyway, the fruit is very obvious.
Well, John, I want to go back to something you said right at the beginning, and thank you. You're such a good teacher. That's why I enjoy having you on the program. I'm always learning, and I suspect our listeners are too. But one thing you said is that God is looking to partner with us. Now, suppose somebody, I'm always interested in that person who's listening to this program, who doesn't really understand what you're talking about there. Can you maybe give a little instruction for the person who says, you know, I would love to partner with God, I just don't know how?
Okay, there's a very important step here, and that first step is that you enter into the covenant with God. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea that God is looking for partners, and partners are people who are connected to him in relationship. It's very important to give your life to Jesus. I know that that's, you know, people say, well, I'm talking to God and I want to know God, and he just pay attention to me. And a lot of times it's kind of like, it's kind of like wanting to know somebody, but you're not meeting them in a place where that you can talk with them. You're catching them on the fly or whatever. It's real important to meet with God face to face by saying, God, I give my life to you. I turn my life over to you. And as we do that, we enter into what's called the new covenant. The new covenant is where God promises and encourage. I mean, there's this whole list of things that God promises to those who belong to him. And then there's also responsibilities that come with that. But this is the most amazing relationship, because once you get connected with God, he speaks to you. I'm just so amazed. People say, God doesn't speak to me. Mm-hmm. And I just teach them after a few steps. And I say, well, what are you hearing and they can hear God. They do hear God. People hear God. But as they hear God, then he speaks to us about who we are. And we find out who we are. And then he also gives us guidance in life. And we find out how we can partner with him to reveal, to experience who we were created to be, first of all. And then secondly, is to partner with him to see God do things through us. Like, this is so laden with, there's so many different ways to share this, but that's the best 5 second, however long I was talking there. That's the best long, the best short answer I can give you on that one.
It's powerful. You're a great teacher. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of our conversation with John Quisenberry from the Charlottesville House of Prayer. Please stay with us.
I love it.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Ralph, you're a Hall of Famer, met hundreds of highly successful athletes and champions. What's the secret?
Hey, Mike, I think it's about work ethic. How much you're willing to sacrifice to become the best and a champion in the classroom and in sports.
Are winners born, or is winning a learned behavior?
It takes time to understand the mindset of a true champion. Winners have to be developed over time.
So that means...
Center Court with Mac McDonald and Ralph Sampson every Sunday at noon, brought to you by Able Insurance on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCA. HV.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program, John Quisenberry. John, when our listeners tune in and hear this show, it's airing on Palm Sunday. What does the Holy Week or Palm Sunday, the week before Easter, we're heading into Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday. All of that, what's the countenance that does, you know, kind of looking forward for you?
Well, this time of year is actually the most amazing time of year for me. It's really interesting that it happens in the springtime when the cold is receding and the warm is coming and the flowers are coming out. I think that this is powerful, and it's not just coincidental. It's actually what's happening spiritually in our lives. And the Easter, of course, is the word Easter is actually comes from another religious tradition, not Christianity, but. But Easter is actually when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, the whole idea of somebody rising from the dead is impossible, but Jesus did it to prove that death has no power over him. I could talk for an hour on that, but let's back up. Jesus was crucified on a cross, gave himself up for our sin, for us, not for our sins. His sins is what he did away with. He gave himself up for us. And when he did that and he beat death by rising from the dead, that signifies the beginning of the new covenant. The old covenant there was lots of stipulations and difficulties in the old covenant, but the new covenant is that we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he enables us to walk in a purposeful and powerful life. So what does this season mean to me? This season represents that event. We celebrate that event. Palm Sunday, that's another whole thing. Palm Sunday today, as this is being aired, on this day, many, many years ago, the people who recognized who Jesus was laid down their coats and laid down palms in the street, and they said, "Hail, Hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord," and were worshiping Jesus before he was even went to the cross and recognized who he was. And so I think this is key for us on Palm Sunday, is recognizing Jesus. There's so many things that distract us right now, so many things that we can watch, so many influences. But for this time of year, what it really is for me is a time of, again, reestablishing God, the God of the universe, the God that created me, as the source of life for my soul, that I live in a connection with him. And it's the remembrance of what Jesus did for us on the cross.
When you read the gospel story of Easter, John, are you ever drawn into the point where you really feel like you're almost like an eyewitness? I mean, are you able to kind of get yourself that close so that you're like almost participating as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on the donkey?
Yeah. You know, I used to really do a lot of, and I think it's a great thing to do, is to, when you read the scripture, to visualize it. Mm. Enter into that where you're encountering the scripture as if you're in first person. But even more powerful than imagining or participating in the events as you imagine them, I think that God on a regular basis, as we worship him, as we gather in the current context to worship him like they did on Palm Sunday so many, many years, many years ago, is that Jesus is present, and that the presence of God actually does enter in. People are listening. Just, you have to do this. Just sit down in your house and put on some music, something quiet, and just say, "God, if you're real, just speak to my heart," and quiet your heart down and say, "God, I give myself to you." If you do this, God will talk to you. And this happens every time we gather in the name of Jesus. And we can, and also reading Bible stories and getting involved in understanding and hearing and seeing those things afresh is a powerful thing. But there's nothing better than firsthand encounter with God as we seek his face.
That's so powerful. Let me, I'm just kind of jumping around. I get so excited to talk with you, but do you ever think about this? Because this is something that I ponder every now and again. So you have probably the two closest disciples, John and Peter. John, yes. Peter, James were kind of the insiders. Well, I imagine that they were so drawn and so in love with Jesus. But his message was difficult for them to grasp, right? Yeah. Like, one of the things that Jesus says in Luke's gospel is that whoever wants to come after me, or whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me daily. I mean, that must have been such a difficult riddle for them to kind of grasp. And so I think about them during this week, heading to the cross, and then what they experience with the resurrection and ultimately the ascension. But then 40 days later, we have Pentecost.
Yep.
And it all makes sense to them then. Yep. It was like such a big message. It was, I don't know, for me, this is my analysis, it was just, it was It was too much for them to grasp it until they were in a place. Well, of course, with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit. But it was almost like they had to look back for it to really piece together.
Yep. Well, I talk about this a lot. I don't know that I told you this, but I just printed a book. My book is coming out May 1st.
Yeah.
It's called Presence-Based Community. And in the book, I talk specifically about this. It is a basic spiritual discipline, and the basic spiritual discipline is called yieldedness. It's called humility. It's entering in to knowing Jesus. Jesus said, "Unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me, die to self, you cannot be my disciple." He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Unless you come as a little child." It's throughout the scripture everywhere. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples the whole time that he's with them that it's not about trying harder or learning more. It's about being yielded to God. In fact, that's how Jesus went to the cross. He was yielded to God. And because he was yielded, the Bible says, because he laid himself down and he died on and he gave himself on a cross, it says God raised him up to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name. Because he submitted himself. And this is the key to every part of our spiritual walk, is that unless we submit ourselves to God, I mean, and it sounds bad, like, I'm not going to submit myself to somebody, I don't know what they're going to do. Well, God created us. He's full of love. Everything he does is good. So this is who you want to submit yourself to. This is how you want to live your life, is in the light of God's love. And if you do that, and that's what they learned too. As they gathered on that day, that Pentecost, the Spirit of God came upon them because there was no church before Pentecost. Mm-hmm. They went back to fishing. It was all over. But on that day, when the Spirit of God came, it's not some Pentecostal charismatic thing. It was the birth of the church because the Spirit of God among us, the presence of God among us, presence-based community. If God's among us, then we are the body of Christ, and Jesus is revealed through us. And that's what happened on Pentecost. Those guys got together. They said, "We're going to just wait on the Lord." It was a prayer meeting, and God showed up, and people. And that's how we know. That's how we walk in our Christian faith today, because they waited. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that people don't do. But yeah, at this time of year, it's very important to understand that aspect of yieldedness, of listening. And that's one thing that they had to deal with. They really had to deal with that issue.
Well, let's wrap up the show with this, John. And I'm so appreciative of you being on this program. But we started with the Romans 12:2.
Yeah.
Do not be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So my challenge to you and to me and to all of our listeners is, let's be very careful and mindful what we read this week, what we listen to this week.
Yes.
And let's turn that where we can. Let's turn off the TV. Let's put away some of our fun reading and let's really dig into God's word, because that is the path to the renewed mind. And I'm just convicted to share that with our listeners. And John, I know I don't have to tell you that, what a difference that makes.
Amen. It's true. We really have an opportunity to focus our attention on something that will give us life. If we focus our attention on things, it's kind of like eating candy. If you eat candy, you're not hungry for dinner. If you eat the things, you know, the things that surround us that seem to satisfy, like, you know, a lot of material possessions or, you know, friendships that are not good for us, or input that kind of makes us think in the wrong direction, or all those things just kind of fill that void. And then we don't go for the deep things, the real things. We're all spiritual beings. So, yeah, I think that we have to develop our spirituality, our spirit person. We have to lay aside all of these other things at periods of time for sure, and just really become really seek to be spiritually mature. And I think reading the Bible is a great thing. Meeting with people to pray, meeting with people to worship, gathering with people to have intellectually encouraging discussions based on the Word of God, or just to encourage people. I think it's very important, Jeff.
John Quisenberry, I want to pray for you, for everyone at the Charlottesville House of Prayer, to all of our listeners, particularly my mother and her colleagues up at Westminster Canterbury. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Yes. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. John Quisenberry, you're the best. Have an awesome week, my friend.
Jeff, it's been great to be with you.
Thanks, brother. We'll see you.
God, we need you to come.
The Joe Thomas in the Morning Show from the Automated Office System Studios on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
A possible trip to the border next month. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Not for President Biden, but for former President Trump.
Over the next couple of weeks, the Border Patrol wants me to go, probably over the next couple of weeks. I don't think there's a rush for me to go. He's supposed to go and make the decision.
The former president told Fox News that President Biden should reenact the Remain in Mexico policy that kept asylum seekers out of the U.S. while they await their hearings.
The situation does continue to grow at the southern border. 18,000 migrant children and teens are now in U.S. custody. On Friday, a group of Republican senators went to the border to see the overflowing facilities and again called on President Biden to see for himself.
Fox's Lauren Blanchard. We don't know when the president might visit the border, but we do know he plans to unveil his infrastructure package on Tuesday in Pittsburgh. A corrections officer in Oklahoma City has been hospitalized after an inmate overpowered him yesterday.
The inmate was able to take his radio and his keys and free many of the other inmates that were on that pod.
Greg Williams is the administrator of the Oklahoma County Detention Center. The inmate was shot and killed by police after officers say they saw him hold an object against the neck of the corrections officer. Outside the jail, protesters gathered to condemn conditions inside the facility. A sobering warning in France, where hospital intensive care units are